This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning I'm going to share a word which everyone in church are going to go like, yes. And it's not because I'm going to be awesome. It's going to be, you long for this. You long to go offline. You long to shut down. You long to take a break. You long to rest. And when I share this morning, I'm hoping that we will hear a stern word from God about what it means to live in the kingdom of God. In our driven culture, in our world where we are incessantly striving towards something. So I'm following up from a message that I shared last week. Just where, and for those of you who missed it, I shared a word about, let me just go open the PowerPoint. I'm going to share a word, I shared a word about my striving culture, my way of always striving towards something because I'm never enough, and what we do is not enough. There's never a place where we shut down and rest. And although over the years I have cultivated a lifestyle of resting, I find that it's a constant struggle for me to just shut down, to rest. Even if I book time out, I find myself on Fridays booking time out just to take a break and just to rest in God and just to chill. But this mind of mine, it struggles to shut down. So when I'm resting and praying or just resting and having a meal by myself in one of my favorite spots, then all the names of the people that I haven't come to in the week and all the stuff that I should do, just when I shut down, stop striving, stop driving forward, then these things come to my mind because I'm aware that there is still a lot of work to do. I don't know who of you can relate to this. I don't know if you can relate to the fact that there's always something more to do. There's always something more to do. Now, God created us as workers, and this is a reality. God created us as workers. He created us to relate male and female in his likeness, to know that we are beloved children of God, and we created to work, to keep and cultivate the earth. We created to preserve what is good, and wealth creation, to create more. That's our inherent identity, those three things. And in our culture, we default that I am a worker. So much of my value in life is determined by what I do and what I contribute. And working takes up a big portion of our time. And it's not evil. Even before the fall of sin, we were created to keep and cultivate the earth. We're created as workers. It's a good thing. Work is a good thing. Work is, I mean, my wife for a season now was fun employed. She was not employed for a while now. And it's better for the whole family if she works. And I'm the same. It's better for the whole family because there's a sense of purpose and meaning that we bring because I am created as a blessing, and my blessing mostly comes from me contributing to society. So in the absence of that, in the absence of finding meaningful contribution to society, there's a loss of identity. Over the years, praying for men and women in church who were unemployed or who sits in a job which they don't sit in well. It's the worst sense of meaninglessness and frustration, anxiety and depression that hits them because of that. But on the other side, and I must say this year more than ever before, I've been ministering and praying for people who were absolutely overworked, burnt out, because our culture is going through a tremendous crisis in terms of work and purpose and creation. I mean, just the changes in working environment has been extremely stressful. Maybe you can just show the next slide. It's amazing in Japan that there's a word called karochi, and you'll see that Japanese man they found unconscious, dead on the train station because their culture, it would not be strange to work 120 hours overtime without compensation because of the honor of giving myself to my company, leaving behind that man, a wife and two young children, because he thought it was honorable. Their culture says it's honorable to work myself to death, to sacrifice myself for the good of Toyota or whatever else company you would work for. And although we don't have that, we don't celebrate that, the government doesn't give you a compensation to your widow and the two orphans that you leave behind because working yourself to death, we have a similar culture where it is honorable to always be busy and never stop working because of the good for what we work for. You sacrifice yourself for the good for what we work for. Now, some of us can absolutely not identify with that, and that's amazing. Don't change. I will talk about productivity and the laziness of the ant at another sermon. But there's a balance about not sacrifice. I mean, if you think about it, what would be worth never ever seeing your children grow up and never, what is the price? What is the price that you would give for that? What amount of income would be worth it to say this was worth it because I'm leaving all this behind? I'm not going to have a relationship with my children or my wife. So this morning, I want to talk into our culture. And I want to say it's going to be easy to hear but difficult to apply because we are going against the culture. The culture of our day says that it's necessary for you to work and work and work and work and do more and do more and do more and do more because, as we all know, there's never ever sufficient work. Work never stops. And that's the crisis. So I'd like us to speak into that. More specifically, we can just consider burnout. It's way too slow, too small, the information up there. But burnout is different from hard work or normal stress in that it's not just that you lack, that you feel exhausted the whole time. That is compassion fatigue. You feel exhausted all the time. But burnout says that all of a sudden you become cynical, and what you do, you question the meaning of what you do. Is this worth it? That what you once loved to do, what you once worked really hard to get to start doing, all of a sudden this becomes meaningless and effortless. You become cynical. You become detached, not just from work, but those around you, because your soul is wearied and burnt out, unable to connect, unable to relax. A good weekend of sleep can't fix this. Binging on Netflix for 3 days in the holiday, long weekend, is not going to fix this. Afterwards, you feel the same sense of exhaustion, fatigue, meaninglessness, depression, and just joylessness. You don't find joy in what you used to. So that's burnout. I'm not going to give you the stats here. But we all can identify, even if you've never been there, you can identify with some of those markers, where seasons of prolonged hard work is really taking its toll on you. So it's in this light that we find it extremely refreshing that Jesus said to those Pharisees who said, your disciples are transgressing the law because they are walking through the grain fields and eating as they walk. And you go like, you nitpick everything. And then Jesus said to them, listen, the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made to observe the Sabbath. From God's perspective, God did not create man to keep some religious rituals. The Sabbath is something as a gift to mankind, because otherwise, karoche, otherwise burnout, otherwise exhaustion, otherwise disconnection, otherwise defragmentation of the identity and the relationships that we have. Inability. So that's what he says. The Sabbath was made for man. It's not as though man was made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is necessary for man. And although this was written, the Sabbath laws were written in the Old Testament to people in Jewish rituals, which was the high day, and the Sabbath was their highest day. So the weekly Sabbath was their highest convocation, their highest religious observance. The most important thing, the covenant sign was a Sabbath to the Old Testament people. We don't live under the Jewish law, but we do pick up something about God's kingdom and God's way of life in which he says, you will find shalom. If you do this, you will find peace. Not because you please God, but because you live in a way that God says is good for you. So can we listen to what this type of rest is? Because I want to say straight up from the beginning that it's not as though, and I'm not going to talk long this morning, it's not as though the rest is simply a disconnection from work. It's not just that. There's a certain way in which we rest that replenishes the soul and the relationships, its ability to function well. There's a certain way. It's not just going away, because all of us, like I just said, had a long weekend where you binge Netflix and afterwards you go like, I go tired to work. Because binging on Netflix is nearly like eating too much for a season just to still some voices or some feelings, or like drinking something or like smoking something that just, you know, takes the edge off. It's simply a way of escaping the real issues, but it doesn't replenish and it doesn't recreate you. It doesn't renew you. It doesn't refresh you. So looking at God's Sabbath, and this morning I'm only touching 3 points. We could do more with this, but I think three is sufficient. Is three sufficient? Three is sufficient. Okay. I can't see you smiling, but I do see some nodding. And now Noddy's song is in my head. Anyway. Okay. The first one, it's amazing if we look at Adam and Eve, and you can read the whole text. I'm simply just giving you a small portion of the text there. But Genesis chapter 2, the story is the theology there, is the big thing. The story is the big picture there. It's a beautiful poem, two beautiful poems, chapter 1 and chapter 2. But the Lord created the heavens, and everything that he created was perfect and was finished. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done and he rested. So God blessed the seventh day and God made it holy. So right there from the beginning, we see that although the law was not given right there at the beginning, we see that the seventh day was set aside because God rested from all his work, and that was the invitation to Adam and Eve. So Adam was created. He had a longing for a mate. God gave him a mate after giving him a job. Some of you men, good lesson. First get a job, then get someone to share with. Anyway, ladies, the same. But had a purpose in life, and then a job, a real job to govern the earth. There was no one else who's going to do the job. It was a real important job to keep and to cultivate the earth, to preserve, to make more. And then he has not even lived for 24 hours. And then the invitation is take a break. And it's so ludicrous if you think about it. I mean, everything was created. Everything was perfect. There was no sin, nor in Adam, nor anywhere else. He has not even lived for 24 hours. He wasn't tired. He did not need to take a break. Physically, there was nothing wrong with this man. He was created at 43 years of age, I believe, because that's a peak in your life. You feel strong and fit and everything, and you feel accomplished. He had more hair, I think. Anyway, I'm more blessed than him. Anyway. But I think Adam was created, everything was perfect, and the invitation is take a break, don't work. And for Adam, it's like, I don't need to take a break. I mean, I'm perfect. I've got it. I haven't even lived 24 hours. I'm not tired, man. I want to get, there's a job to do. There's a task to do. I have to do something. And God says, no work. This is different from other days for you. This is different. No work. What was the invitation? What was the rest God invited Adam into? The rest is simply this, that Adam, before you came on the scene, I was in charge of everything. It all depends on me, Adam. I create and sustain everything. I simply invite you to participate. It does not hang on your shoulders. It's not your burden to carry. Everything does not depend on you, Adam. Yes, Adam, the world is falling apart, Adam. Yes, Adam, the world needs work. Yes, Adam, there's so much you can do. There's so much work you should do. But today I want you to stop, Adam and Eve, because not everything depends on you. The rest is not a rest if I feel tired. The rest is stop. Unburden yourself. Cast your cares on the Lord, because He is the creator and sustainer of everything. It doesn't everything happen hang on my shoulders. Do you get that? Do you get that invitation? Can you see the necessity for that time of reflection? The first rest is a rest of reflection. So, a break, a holiday, a off day, without stopping, reflecting that God is the creator and sustainer of everything, and there is an intentional unburdening, casting my cares on the Lord for everything. A rest without that will keep your soul in the same space that it was before that. So even a chill time with your friends is not going to take that burden off. It's an intentional time of reflection. That last week was so good for me, previous week, when we went together on Stillby, because we have just ample time to pray through everything on the rocks alone, and just to as the stuff comes up, just to say, God, I know I don't get to everything, but this break is necessary for me, because I am not, cannot take responsibility for everything in this world. And yes, God, there's a high possibility that if I don't get to do those things, it might fall on the ground. But I am not God, and I cannot take the responsibility for everything and everyone. My soul needs a rest from the carrying the responsibilities before God. I cast my cares on the Lord. He will sustain me. He will not permit the righteous to be moved. That's what the psalmist says. Do you get this rest? A rest that says, these are the areas that is my responsibility and my concern. But God, I'm going to stop today trying to fix it, because it's not mine. There's a second one that we see in the law, actually, that is similar to this one. When the law was given to the Jews, the Israelites who fled from Egypt, where God delivered them, up until that point, nowhere in the world was there a resting day. It's amazing, if we still go to India and places in the East, it's only in Christianized countries that we get a formal off day. You don't get it everywhere in the world. It is a gift that comes from God's law to the Jews. The concept of a resting day, a 5 or 6 day working day, is a gift that God has given to the world. They work nonstop, career all over. So, but when God saved them, they were at that point, they were Jews, they were slaves. They were simply, Hebrews means secondhand citizens. They're not important. If they die because of corruption, if they die because of their overwork, it's okay. We just put them in the ground with the necks of the pyramids, and we put it, push another body in there to do the work, because it doesn't matter. But God says, no, let me tell you the truth. I saved you. You shall remember that when you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, therefore the Lord your God commands you to keep the Sabbath. And remember, the Sabbath is a commemoration, a reminder, a constant reminder that I am not a slave. I am not just a worker. I am not on this planet only to work. And for the Jews perpetually, that's why they have one day out of the week forever. It was a reminder that there was a time where I was simply a worker, a productive element that does something for someone. But up to this point, God says, stop it. Now, one day you will stop working, because I saved you from the spirit of this world that says it's never enough. I saved you from that. And I saved you and saying, today I want you to be. Today I want you to be. Today I want you to remember that you are my beloved, that you are not just a worker, that you're not just to do something. You are not just valuable because of the contribution that you bring. You are valuable because you're precious. I saved you to myself, and I placed you in a community. Beautiful reflection. I am not just a worker. My life is not just meaningful because of what I bring in or what I contribute. It's not just that. With that, there's the next one that we find in Leviticus, when the law was given. So Sabbath is a time of reflection, that not everything depends on me, A, and B, I am worth more than the work that I do to this world. I'm not just important because of what I bring. Second thing here is beautiful in Leviticus is that the Sabbath is a time of relating. And this is something which our culture, and I'm speaking here in Cape Town, independent, individualistic culture, little clusters of people bonding together when we feel like it. But our culture is so individualistic, contrary to God's culture in many ways. Where God's culture is everything about community and friendship, belonging. And he says here, 6 days you shall work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. And then he adds, a holy gathering of God's people. A holy gathering of God's people. And the purpose of the Sabbath year, you shall do no work. And then he says, I want you to also list out the feast of Israel. There are holidays where we get our term holiday from. They had seven feasts grouped together in three patches in the year, where we still do that today after all these years. There are certain periods where we shut down schools, shut down educational systems, lower productivity in work, because it's necessary for us to stop. And this is the point of the law. We need to stop our work so that families and friends can gather together to remember God and God's people, God's goodness to us. A time of not working, not giving ourselves to productivity and work, but a time of simply enjoying one another. When we go to work, we are valued by our contribution and we are celebrated for what we perform. When we come home, we are valued for who we are and celebrated for being here, not for doing, for being. I'm celebrated at home because I am husband, because I am father, because I am friend. I'm celebrated for who I am. And it's essential for us in this world that, especially during times when there's a pressure for us to do more because we're not celebrated for doing more, it's especially necessary for us to gather away and to rest, to be with one another, to constantly be celebrated for being dad, for being husband, for being friend, for being son, for who I am. My value in this world is not just derived from what I do. And the point here is an intentional relating where I am refreshed. It's Christmas times, we generally are refreshed, eh? There's more often, you know. Anyway, the point is feasting and celebrating reassurance of my identity as family, as friend, as God's people. And the point is not an individual rest by ourselves, to be ourselves, but intentionally of being together, relating, reflecting, relating. I can say more, but I'm moving on. Next one is a season of renewal. And I want to invite you, this year was particularly stressful. We know this because I don't know counselors or psychologists who have capacity in their calendar. They are all booked out. They're working really, really hard because people really have found it extremely stressful this year because of the working culture and the stresses. People are traumatized in many, many ways. So for you, I want to say just for the people like Israel, God says there are certain periods where a normal weekend or maybe even a normal holiday might not be enough, where you need to take a break. I was shocked to see that the stats, so this is US stats, but I'd say it will be the same in South Africa, I'd guess, that 64% of employees ended a calendar year without taking all their leave. So the issue is not companies saying that you may go. The issue is a culture that says, I can't because I have more to do. There's too much work for me to take a break. Have you ever said that to your spouse or to your friend or to yourself? Even to your boss saying, I can't go away because I have too much work. In that case, I'm going to say, take the leave. If it falls to the ground, it falls to the ground. It's okay. We can pick it up later. Everything in this world falls to the ground. I'm not being pessimistic, sounding a bit like that. But the point is, you need to take a break, and there's a need for a renewal. You'll see that there was a Sabbath year given in Israel every seventh year for the ground to replenish. But obviously, if you say for the ground to be replenished, and there are many laws attached to this one, it's not just the ground being replenished, because everyone no one was allowed to do any work on the field in that year. Keep away from the work. You may harvest a bit, but you don't do any other work to it. The point is that there is a structure of let's take a break. Let's renew. Let's reflect. Let's spend time with one another and with God. Let's let other things be more important than my work for a season. And the point is replenishing and renewal. We see Jesus doing that just after John the Baptist was beheaded. His friend, he said to his disciples, come on, guys. He got his news and he says, I'm not going to do any ministry now. Come away with me for a while. Just draw away. It's just too much. I need to heal. My cousin was executed. A righteous man died. I'm going to take a break and mourn the death of my friend, my cousin. Or in a season where John chapter 10, Jesus was pushed off the cliff nearly for the third time, killed in three chapters, obviously 8, 9, and 10, was killed for the third time nearly, and he said to his disciples, let's go to the place where John at first baptized and stay there. The Bible says stay there for a long time. He went back to the place where he first heard the Father saying, you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he went to stay in that space with his disciples who were there on that day, just to remind himself on who he is, because everyone wants to kill him if he calls himself the Son of God. And he needed the time to reflect, and he needed time to refresh himself. He needed time and space. We see this also in Acts chapter 14. Chapter 13 and 14, Paul goes on the first missionary trip, Barnabas and Paul. They go out, they set out, they accomplish an incredible amount of church planting and ministry. They did exceptionally well, but it was hard. He was sick for a season with eye infection, maybe because of a storm or maybe because of a problem that he had, that he stayed in Galatia for a while. At Iconium, he was thrown outside the city and stoned nearly to death so that the new believers had to pray for him. So it was a tough season, just apart from normal travel restrictions in that time. It was difficult. It was a really hard time. And when he came back to church, knowing that the whole world still needs to hear about Jesus, he was the first man to set out to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He had a mandate from God that this is what you will do in life. You must do this. He had a clear word from God. But he was a Jew who understood himself and God's law, and he said, there's a lot to do. But for now, listen to that last line. I'm going to stay here for a long time until I'm refreshed to go out again. I'm not going to do ministry. I'm just going to be. I'm just going to be for a while. I'm going to hang with my church people, my friends, my family. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be here. I'll do things around the house. But I'm not going to go and do a major feat again. Even though I have the Spirit of God, even though I have a mandate from God, even though I have a word from God, I know that I'm not God. And if I'm going to want to go far, I'm going to go slow. I'm going to go slow with friends. So I'm going to pause there for a while. Because Paul knew that he needed to be refreshed, replenished, renewed. He needed to rejuvenate in a sense. Something was lost. He was drained. And he needed God to build him up. His soul was depleted. His body was sick. I'm going to take a break. I'll go out again when I feel strong. Not when I receive letters from Thessalonica that says, come and preach the gospel to us, not because of Macedonian calls or anything. I will go when I'm strong again. Because God is not pleased with us sacrificing ourselves for the job, even if it's ministry. God is not pleased with me doing a coreoche on myself, falling dead, preaching because I'm doing that. And it's amazing, just recently again, looking at the world around us and even South African news, seeing ministers fall for sins and stuff that are stupid that they would never do if they are right in their mind, if they're refreshed, if they're in good relationships. But we know what HALT, that HALT acronym, whenever you feel hungry or in need physically, if the body just is needy, angry or emotional constantly, lonely or isolated, tired or exhausted for a while, HALT. Whenever you feel HALT, you just stop, take a break, reflect what's going on here, spend some time. I'll come back again later because now I'm in a dangerous space. And I know that I am not God. I am vulnerable. I can fall down. It's beautiful to me, these three things. First one, maybe you can just show us some of your slide there. Or maybe the next slide. Anel, one more. I'm closing. We go offline, and this is what these three texts tell us. We go offline, we need Sabbath. We go offline, we shut down. And I want to say offline, guys. I want to say offline. I actually mean offline. I mean actually shutting down everything that comes, because that's the problem today. Usually we'd go to work and then come home, you know, 50 years ago. You'd go to work and you'd come home and relax. But now, many of us are still confined to our homes working. Crazy 15 hours a day, 14 hours a day. And we're home, but we're disconnected and exhausted. The point is to shut down my responsibilities, my work, to close that avenue, to open up relationally, to open up for reflection and opening up for the Holy Spirit to renew me. And it takes time to renew me. Even if someone comes and shanda on my head quickly, just to give me a bit of a boost, pray, Spirit, fill me, God's going to say, you're a fool. Because Paul was filled with the Spirit, he didn't ask the church to quickly pray and send me out again. He waited a long time. Jesus waited a long time, two occasions in his ministry life that we know of, because he needed a break. He needed to be refreshed. Otherwise, he burns out. So two things that these texts says to us. First of all, rest is all about identity. It's an intentional reflection on who I am. I'm not in control of everything. I'm not God. I'm not responsible for everything. I can't. I have a call. I have a work. I am significant because of my contribution. Yes, but that's not all. I'm also family. I'm also friend. I'm also a person. I'm a father. And my value and my belonging is derived from that, not just from the work that I do. Secondly, it's an issue of trust. Just like tithing, the covenant, two covenant things of the Old Testament, tithing and Sabbath. It's an issue of trust. Whenever you take a break, it will be an act of faith. Whenever a doctor takes a break, walking away from the hospital, because there are always sick people, there are always poor people, there are always broken valves, there are always stuff to do, there are always orphans outside, there are always something, but God is not pleased that you sacrifice yourself to the job. You are not God. You stop, you take a break, and that means faith in God. Knowing God, I'm not going to study tonight because I need a break, because I need a break, God. I am called to do that, but God, not tonight. Today, I'm going to take a break. In fact, this week, I'm going to take a break, God, because I need you to replenish me. Otherwise, there will not be anything left to do a job in 10 years' time. There won't be anything left here. I'm not Superman. I'm not God. Trust. It will always be. The Sabbath was made for man. Three areas that what do we do in a Sabbath time, in a break time, even if it's a Saturday or a Sunday or a week, we make intentional time to reflect. What are the burdens in my life? What's happening on the inside? God, what are you speaking about the future? Reflect, relate. Connect to people around me. Find strength and energy from the people around me. And lastly, a time of renewal. Saying, God, at times when I'm just really, really tired, I'm going to wait. That's why the Bible says, wait on the Lord and he will strengthen you. Those who wait upon God. It's a waiting. It's not an evening of waiting. It's a waiting, a period of, I'm not going to do anything. Unless you're going to move, God, there's not going to be anything less. It's a time of recreation. Like the field that the Israelites heard that they should leave open for a season to not plant, to rejuvenate. God, I need rejuvenation. I need new life. I need capacity to receive. It's a time of resting. I bet that you're tired at this time of the year, and particularly after this time, season. I want to challenge you, what will you do if God says that the Sabbath was made for you? You need Sabbath. If God says you need Sabbath, what will you do with that? How will you respond? Because you and your family and your career will be poorer off unless you stop and obey God for your sake, for your good. But it's never just you. It's never just you going to pushing on. There are always people around you who will be poorer off because of your disobedience. And that's what we're seeing today. We see a culture of people that are exhausted, burned out, and they think they're doing a great thing. And God's saying, I came to bring you shalom, peace. If you obey, you will be blessed. It will be well with you. If you disobey, you will not be blessed. It will not be well with you. It's not as though God curses you in a sense. It's just you living in a way in which you shouldn't. 2 weeks ago, because of economic and because of the pace of life, I haven't serviced my car for quite some time. And I was glad that when we went still by, I didn't just check on myself, but I also sent my car to be done. I could have driven him for a while, but I can tell you from the mechanic's feedback, it was a good time. it was a Kairos moment for me to take my car for a service. Stop and be replenished. It's the same for me and you. This body and the soul and your spirit is not meant to only work. Don't operate outside of spec. Come and be replenished. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this word, God. Thank you that you are the God who is a loving, good God, that you saved us not just to be a worker for you, to make your kingdom be extended and to serve and to be good to others, but even from the ministry life of Jesus and Paul, God, we can see that there's a way to live that brings life, that gives endurance, a cycle of grace in which we can live to be replenished and stay replenished. There will always be seasons we can see in Jesus' life, God, where we will work hard, but it must be followed by seasons of rest, and that's going to be a step of faith. So, Father, I pray for us in this culture of incessant work, in this culture of incessant drivenness, God. Will you help us, God, to live in a way where we are replenished by your grace to serve you well? Will you help us with wisdom? Will you let us hear your spirit say to us, this is the way, walk in it, God. And today we're looking at the ancient paths, as Jeremiah 6 says, and we ask, what is the good way? And we thank you that you say that a man needs rest, that the Sabbath was made for man. Speak to us. Give us courage to obey you well. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.